The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Yep, yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Scarface is in the building. Collectively, we are the Ghetto Boys.
Reloaded.
Reloaded with another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, Devin, the... The dude. What's up, King?
Man, just cool, man. Good to be here, man.
Devin the dude. Damn. Family.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This is one of the most unique voices in hip hop.
Ever.
One of the most talented guys I've ever met in my life. Yeah. Devin the dude.
Oh, man. I appreciate it, sir, man. Good looking out, man. I had wonderful mentorship. You know what I'm saying? Coming up, rap a lot. Yeah, man, y'all was the epitome, you know what I'm saying? And everybody in Houston, in Texas, in the South, actually wanted to be a part of the movement y'all was having, man. Y'all was like trendsetters. Y'all was groundbreaking, set the blueprint of independent rap, period.
I first heard Devin on a song. He said, and when you finish wiping my dick off, turn the channel 20. It's all as I don't want to miss the kickoff. That's what I knew. I was like, say, man.
Now, where'd you first meet Dad?
Shit, I don't remember. I think we were at Digital Services, a studio that we were recording at.
Yeah,
I'll forget. Well, let me ask Dev, because I know he remembered. Were you high? When you met
Yeah,
Brad,
we was high. We definitely was high. Oh, we was
high. Do you remember?
It was Digital Services. Yeah, but I don't remember at what.
Shout out to John Moran.
Yeah, John Moran. Yeah, much love. Big Chicken.
Big Chicken. Big Chicken wasn't that digital.
He came later with Mike.
He came to Hippie House.
Hippie House with Mike Dean.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Chicken cut all his fingers off, man.
What you mean?
I said, that's what I said. He cut his fucking fingers off, bro.
Yeesh.
And he was a hell of a guitarist. And he cut his fingers off by accident. You know, he worked with that wood.
Right, right.
That shit cut his fucking fingers off, man.
He helped build the Hippie House.
Built the Hippie House. But with hand. Yeah. Shout out to Big Chicken.
Let's take it back, Dev. Let's go back to Pontiac, Michigan.
You know what? I get that a lot, man, because, you know, you look at my Wikipedia page or whatever. Say, I was
born. Were you born in Pontiac?
Yes, I was born.
You were born there, but you were raised in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yes, I am the only sibling of mine just was born in Pontiac. Nobody in my family ever was born in Pontiac. My mom was pregnant with me at the time.
Okay.
And we were all from St. Petersburg, Florida. Mm-hmm. The car industry was booming, and I think my dad was trying to get a job, and my grandfather was living in Michigan at the time. So my mama that was pregnant with me moved to Pontiac just, you know, for the summer, you know, and so he can get a job and try to get situated. But they didn't like it. It was too cold, and she was uncomfortable. And she just decided as soon as I was born, she was going to go back to Florida. So after 2 months or so, I moved back to Florida.
So is that where the majority of your family is?
Yeah, that's most of my family. And East Texas, Texarkana. We kind of migrated from there. My grandmother started migrating from Florida back in like 79. 78, 79, something like that.
You got any family in Lufkin, Texas?
Lufkin? I'm pretty sure I do. Yeah, we be doing a lot of fucking. But I'm pretty sure I got somebody in Lufkin that's kin to me, though. Yeah.
So you left immediately. Your mom left once she had you. And then you're in St. Petersburg. How long are you there before you make the jump to Houston?
There in the middle, third grade going to fourth grade.
Okay.
Third grade going to fourth grade. And my grandmother, we call her Mama Candy, she moved first. She was really in the church scene, holiness church. I'm talking about five times a week. You know, they go to church. You know, she was real, you know, Christian. And she moved because they had like a thing saying that Florida was going to end up being submerged in water and stuff, or it's going to be wiped out. Or back then, it was a lot of evangelists, a lot of Christian tents, and a lot of stuff going on back then. So she moved with her family, all my uncles, stuff, they moved, and she was trying to get my mother to come, trying to get so hard to get my mother to come to Texas. And they had some land out in Douglasville, Texas, 195 people. So they just, boom, it might be 200 people now.
Uh-huh.
You know, that would be a lot of fucking like that. But
so what caused the boom? Because the boom, you know, they went from 195 to 200.
Yeah, you know what?
Five people, man. That's
they cousins and stuff. They, you know, how they do in the country with their cousins. Nah, I'm just let me stop.
Say goody goody kini yini.
Yeah.
Fuck was goody goody.
That's cool. Nah, yeah, that's crazy. But but much love to the Washingtons and the Draytons and all, you know, the families out there in Douglasville. Neighbors, and they kind of taught us how to kind of live off the land, man. You know, we was from the city. We didn't really know what was happening. We know we had to chop wood to get ready for the winter. We know we had to plant a lot of seeds and go in the garden and take care of it. I thought it was just fun at first because my grandmother had me out there picking purple hull peas and with a
purple
bucket,
hull peas.
And I was just having fun. And then the second week or so, it wasn't so fun. It wasn't so fun. It was like, man, it was like work. I was like, whoa, it was, whew. well water, all that, you know what I'm saying? And it was, I had to go next door, and my grandmother made preservatives, and I had to go next door to take the preservatives over there and to trade them off for eggs.
Now, what city is this?
This is Douglasville, Texas.
Okay, so this, this is not a city, this is a town.
It's a town. I mean, what's smaller than a town? I don't know, but that's what that is. Yeah, the biggest town was called New Boston, and we eventually moved to the big town.
You know? Big town.
Yeah, much love to all the people in New Boston, too, man, New Boston, Texas. But it was, we had to, you know, walk a mile down the dirt road just to get on the bus to travel 30 miles to school every day.
Now, you went to school out there?
Yeah. Atlanta Rabbits. Much love to Atlanta Rabbits. That's my first Texas school ever. And, you know, and I was an elementary school. And then eventually we moved to New Boston Lions, you know what I'm saying? And then after that, my mom was like, she just wanted to get away. She needed somewhere bigger to stay. We had a lot of kids and stuff. She had a lot of kids. So she landed a job in Houston in like 82. You got a job like in Houston. And from like 83, we just started coming, you know, she moved us in. She sent for us and we, you know, start chilling in Houston. And back then, every time we get in trouble, my mom would send us to the country, to New Boston. So I was going back and forth. Back and forth from Houston to New Boston, Texas, until I graduated.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and when I graduated, I just wanted to get out of there. I just wanted to, you know, shout out to all my road dogs in New Boston too, man.
What made you want to start rapping, Dale? And when did you know that you was like really fucking dope?
You know what? When did I start rapping? What made me start rapping? Actually, I was breakdancing, you know, even from Florida coming to Texas, we was just doing a robot and stuff like that. We had groups and my older brother, Donnie, you know.
What's Donnie doing?
Donnie chilling, man.
Donnie cool in the motherfucker. Yeah, Donnie might be cooler than you, man.
He probably is. That's where I get most of my stuff from.
That motherfucker cool as hell, man.
That's where I get it from, man. What's the D-Lack?
D-Lack.
How did your grandmother respond to your rap career?
What? Man, you know what? Before I left, she sent for me before my mom and the rest of my family came to Texas. So she kept sending for me. She promised me a Shetland pony. And I was like, I want a Shetland pony. And I always wanted one. I never got it. But she brought me up there, you know what I'm saying? And then I realized what it was, it wasn't really a Shetland pony. It was something bigger than that, but it was something to ride off with. It was something significant, and it kind of meant the same thing as that Shetland pony did back then. Okay. And it took me a long time to realize what it was, but it was, you know, she didn't allow me to have circular music. We couldn't play.
What kind of music?
Oh, I feel like circular.
I mean, like.
What are you talking about? Like, what's bigger than the Shetland pony?
No shit.
What are you talking about?
Okay, the Shetland pony to me as a kid was big enough for me to get on and ride around and show off. And I can, it's like a ride to me as a kid. All you think about like a horse, but it's not a big, intimidating horse. It's a cute little pony that you can ride and you can still maneuver and just have fun with it. And I always wanted one, you know. Back then, it was like mini bikes and stuff and go-karts, something you can get on and ride. Hmm. And Shetland Pony was like a little ride to me that I wasn't intimidated by, because when it came from Florida to Texas, a big horse, it was like, what the fuck is this big animal? But the Shetland Pony was cool. I can get on it. And I never got it, but she instilled in me a ride that I can have for life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a Shetland pony. It wasn't a horse. It wasn't nothing that you can literally drive or ride. But it's
something. She put some values
in life.
Values.
Yes, it's like I had to go to church every day. I went like three or four times a week. I kept falling asleep in church. She kept hitting me, getting me up to the point where she talked to the pastor and asked if I could join the choir. And I was the only kid in the choir because I kept falling asleep in the church and she was embarrassed and didn't want that. She just would stand up and sing, you know. So I was the only kid in there. Me and what other kid was it? Maybe Tinker. Yeah, yeah. He was like, he played tambourine too, you know.
Did you have a solo?
Yep.
What's your solo? Do you remember?
You know what? Funny you ask. It was something really simple. It was, so many times I did not have a dime. You know what? I told nobody but the Lord. He gave me a try, and I did not have to die. You know what?
I told nobody but,
you know, something like real simple. And I'm blessed.
So blessed.
Yes, I'm blessed. You know, something real simple, but.
So you was cold back then. Broke the church up.
But there was a holiness church where they run around and fall out and pass out and speak in tongues. Nah, I didn't understand it.
You never fell out in church?
Sleep, but other than no. Nah, have I ever called the Holy Ghost? No, I ain't never called the Holy Ghost. Nah, I ain't never, you know, but it was interesting to watch. And it was just really, really, you know, it was just the spirit was there. And it was just music for the most part. And then, you know, just
when, a revival. When did you go to church high? Did you ever go to church high?
No, I didn't go to church high. When I started getting high, I stopped going to church. I stopped going to church when I started getting high for some reason. I don't know. Well, you know, and then later I'll go to church.
Caught your snap.
Mm-hmm.
You caught your snap.
I caught my snap.
You caught your snap.
Yeah, you like, stepped out of that shit. Yeah,
exactly. You were like,
I'm going to church.
Man, what the hell is I'm going to this?
No, that ain't Dev. Dev got some weed in his pocket. And a cooler full of beer in the car right now. Guaranteed. Man, I remember when I first heard Fat Enough for Everybody. I heard the original.
All right, Squad. Chuck Wood, Rob Quest, much love, baby.
Yeah, and I thought it was the most original shit I had ever heard. And I heard Dale's voice, man. I wanted to put Devin and DMG and a couple more, Smitty and a couple more artists with unique voices in this group, man. And we started making records, man, and the shit started sounding better and better and better and better. And we ended up naming the group Face Mob. And I just saw something in Devin. You know, back when I guess nobody seen that shit, cause we actually sat down and did a solo album together. And then that's when I really had the opportunity to see how dope Devin was, man. And the first song, the dude, you know, remember Wayne played the horn on the shit and
Uncle Wayne?
And what's Eddie played the bass on the shit.
Yo, Uncle Wayne, I got talent in the family.
I got talent in my family, man. You know, Uncle Wayne died. Man, I know he would be super proud to know that you took your career into your own hands and started making albums and moving forward rather than doing like a whole lot of other artists. Excuse me. That just ended up saying, you know what, man, fuck this music shit. I'm gonna go get me a job. And you knew what you had and you stood on that shit, man. And that's just so dope to me, Dale.
Well, you know what, man? Super believe it dope. Or not, you was pretty much one of the biggest influences of that. I'd never thought to be a solo artist. I never wanted to be a solo artist. I always wanted to be in a group, breakdancing, basketball, football group. I just wanted to be a good team member and everything, you know what I'm saying? And I found like a cool group with the Odd Squad, Rob Quest, and Jug One, who was like solid. And when you came on and you was like, man, y'all are dope, man. You know what I'm saying? You're dope. You really kind of like, say, man, you ever thought about doing a solo album? You asked me that. I was like, and not really, you know what I'm saying? I like the group. You said, man, you'll be a dope solo artist, man. Just think on it. And I pondered on it, but I never gave it a thought. I don't know if you passed that on to Jay or something, but I know he asked me one time too at Digital in the parking lot. He said, Dale, what you think about going solo? And before I can answer it, Beto's brother, rest in peace, man. He's like, man, Devin ain't ready, man. It's 3-2 turn. Who said that?
Who said that?
Uh, what was it, the Beatles brother? He's passed. Well, I forgot.
Oh, you talking about Teddy?
I believe so, man.
Teddy said some shit like that? I don't believe that. Really?
Yeah, because I think he was down with 3-2, right?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't Teddy. I don't want to say the wrong. I don't want to get it, but it was somebody. It was short, bright skinned dude, gangster type.
Yeah, I tell you.
Yeah, but he was like, no, it's on 3-2. It's 3-2 up next.
No shit.
And I was like, who the fuck you talking about? Who the fuck? Nigga, we ain't even talking to you. What the fuck? Yeah, I'm ready, Jay. Yeah, I'm ready. Man, I don't know what the fuck. You know what I'm saying? Because we just kind of got into it. And me and him was about to, you know, go at it with words. And I wasn't even thinking about a solo until, you know, he's talking, but Devin ain't ready. It's 3-2 turn to go. You know who's next? I'm like, oh, no, hell no.
You must have been really hot, man, because I ain't never seen you.
I ain't never seen Devin break a sweat.
Well, it was some inside stuff. Man, I love 3-2. That's my nigga, man.
Rest in peace.
But it was 3. Rest in peace 3, man. You know, he did a lot for the city, man. He, you know, really represent. But it was some internal stuff that, you know, he was kind of going at me with. I shook it off here. You'll never know. On Bring It On, he was talking about me. Yeah. You know, in his first couple of lines, because he was free. We just freestyled on Bring It On. And he came and did it and listened to everybody's verses. And then he stopped after the art squad. He heard art. Then he said, let me go in there. And he started rapping. But it was some, you know.
Damn, I never knew that.
You remember, I see you at the, now I'm at the window of your cocksucking caddy. You heard I roll a fatty. I was a fat squat twister. Well, it's me, the nigga, the fat squat twister. The one who fucked his sister and made a pussy. You know, whatever. And then he came in like, you heard I roll a fatty. Now I'm at the window of your cock. So I'm the only one who got it. Nobody else.
I don't think that was the case.
No. But
Devin, I'm not gonna ride with that one.
Man, I sure hope it's. Yeah, you know what? I would like to say you're probably right.
Yeah, no. They just
no, but it was just like a competition at the time. A friendly competition. It wasn't nothing personal, really, but he really wanted to he wanted to be up next, you know, either with the convicts or whatever. He really had a lot of thrive and wanted to whoever in my way up in the trash. But 3-2 was really, really cool. I mean, he freestyled off the top, like really just nasty. Everybody, we had fun. He used to come to Rob House all the time, him and Big Mike. They'd be hot. But they lift weights, we freestyle, we drank, smoke. But we was real cool. We was all cousins. We was all like hip hop cousins. You know what I'm saying? And it was all friendly, but that line, it was kind of about me, but I never said anything. And I thought, you know, if it wasn't no impact.
I know you said something in one of your songs, man. I'm just trying to hear. I'm trying to remember all of the songs, man. You probably responded. I know you did.
No. It didn't deserve a response. Never, ever, ever. And I never got offended. I wish I had a chance to go back in the booth. That was the only thing I felt. But yeah, it wasn't nothing, man. Man, much love for SP32, man. It was just some friendly conversation.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You got a cult following, Devin. Like, and you got mixed. When we look out into the crowd of your concerts, you see everybody. I think that you have tapped into a market for everybody. You know what I mean? Everybody's at your show, bro, and everybody's high.
I think that's the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, not only getting high, but
having a good time.
Having a good time, man. I don't really get into a lot of racial stuff, you know, but you know, to me a color is just a color. You know, a person is a person. You know, there's a lot of, you know, good and bad and every race and creed or whatever. So
I try not to make. You got a lot of people everybody is in your crowd. It's
well diverse.
You have a cult following, bro. Like every time I call, what Devin is, man? Devin not on tour. I'm like, fuck. When does he have time to record? He always on fucking tour. This is fucking dope, Dev. You got fans all over the world, man. And they love your music, bro.
I like mingling with them too, man. After the show, just getting right off the stage and going straight out there, you know, before they clean up the club and kick everybody out. I like to go around there, you know, go out and just, you know, show them love, just to, you know, touch them and take pictures and just, I mean, if it wasn't for them, man, it's just,
I totally get it, man. Appreciated
at this day and age, at my, you know, this point in my life, this, you know, the age that I am, and to be appreciated for the past music is just, you know, I can't ask for nothing else, you know. It would be selfish of me to just, you know, get off the stage and just go and get my money and dip to the next show. No, it's, you know, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah. You had the opportunity to work with Dr. Dre.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was a huge.
How was that experience?
That was wonderful. That was my.
How did that even come about?
Actually, it was, I was just at the crib, man. I was at the crib, 97, 98, something like that. I don't know, somewhere. But then I got a call from Rap-A-Lot, and it was Rico. Much love to Rico, too, you know. He said, Deb, man, Dr. Dre about to get ready to call you, man. He wants you to work on his album. I was like, man, you're shitting me, ain't you? He said, nah, man, I ain't. I'm for real. Stay by the phone. He going to call you. So hour passed, 2 hours passed. I'm like, man, I know he's bullshitting. I was checking my phone, see if it was April 1st or whatever. I'm like, nah, okay, let me see. So I totally forgot about it. 3 hours passed, whatever. Phone rang, nonchalantly. I just picked up. Hello? Yo, it's Devin? I said, yeah. And he said, do what the fuck you want to do. Yo, Dre, kick in the face. You know what I'm saying? I recognize his voice, and I did that. Just tripping me. Just like, shout out to Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre,
much love. Bad motherfucker.
Shout out to Rico, too, man. And I heard you say, when you was talking about Rico told you that Dre was going to call you, you sounded like you had some excitement in your voice, but that's not how Rico talked.
Sometimes Rico be bullshitting too, though.
You gotta
watch Rico.
That call was more like, hey, Dre about to call you. Yeah, pick up the phone. It was more, it was very, probably a lot more reserved, right?
More reserved. But back then, he was, you know, he was more amp, you know. He more laid back now.
Oh, yeah, he's starting to lift weights and getting strong. He got muscles now and shit. Yeah, so he don't want to talk as
waste any energy.
Yeah, he'd rather lift him a weight.
But yeah, and then he called and got in touch with me, man, and told me about the project. And man, flew out there, man. That was incredible, man. That was
incredible experience, I'm sure.
Incredible experience, just to see him work in the studio, to see him work.
You said you got the call in 2017, but the Chronic didn't come out till 2001. Y'all worked on that album?
I said 98, 99 or something. Like,
it took a long time.
Yeah, it was
you said 97. Like, I think
98, 99. Okay, because my album was out. You know, my album was out. So that's why he was like, dude, what the fuck you want to do? I was like, I heard that voice. I'm like, Dre? Yo, Dre, kick in the face, you know. But yeah, man, he said he really, you know, he was listening to us as the Odd Squad. He said he had our first demo tape.
I had that motherfucker. He said
was listening to that on the first Chronic tour. They were listening to the Odd Squad, you know, demo tape before it even came out. I was like, wow.
That's dope.
Yeah. Like, nah, Dev, y'all, man. That fucking bloom bloom smoking that weed, feeling fine, got me a 40 and a fat ass dime. Yeah. That shit there, man. Wow.
Him and Snoop. Snoop told me they used to listen to Pussy Like Dope all the time. So, that Pussy Like Dope and smoking that weed. Yeah, it was. Yeah, but that was good. Just good to hear just that he was listening or he heard about me, man. It was just wow.
Besides the fact that you went down and you discovered that he was a huge fan of yours. What's one of the things that surprised you most about Dre? Not even necessarily as a professional, just as a person. What's one of the things that because Dre is pretty much an introvert compared to a lot of celebrities and superstars.
Right. But inside of the studio itself, I'd never really just chill with Dre on the outside of the studio, chilling, vibing or whatever. But I know on the inside, he's just total control of the music. I'm talking about, we'll have 6-7 people in there. Everybody's on the instrument. Somebody's on a bass. Somebody's on a guitar. Mm-hmm. Somebody's on a keyboard. I had Mailman on the MP. He had somebody on an upright bass, motherfucking upright bass. And he gave me a DAT tape. He gave it to the engineer. The engineer put it in. He gave me a piece of paper with what was on the DAT tape, which was like 107 numbers, all skeletons now. It was like a minute and a half, a minute here, all skeleton songs. With maybe 5-6 instruments at the most in it. And he's like, if you hear something you like, man, just let me know. I'm like, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? So they start playing them. They kept going. They only played like 10 seconds of each to see if I like it. And I couldn't even really get a chance to absorb each one because they were dope, but I couldn't like try to feel it so I can probably play some on it right then. So they were going through it, and they got like 17, 18. And our mailman said, go back to number 12, man. He was feeling number 12. He went back to number 12, and it was do, 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 do. I just want to play. He said, you like that? I'm like, ooh, that shit dope. He's, boom, boom. He shut everything down, and he told everybody about the number, and boom. And everybody just got to their position and start redoing that song.
Why you didn't tell them to play the song longer? Like, why you say, man, y'all stopping it too fast. Give me 30 seconds. Let me feel it.
Me say something.
I had to ask.
I mean, how arrogant would I have been? No, it's just like, I was just honored. I was just honored, man. But I was afraid I have to listen to all this stuff.
Yeah.
How you gonna choose a song or two off 107 Dre tracks? You know what I'm saying?
The coolest part about Dre is Dre would start the, he would put the DAT in and just press record and just make shit, just shit. So it ain't no telling what's on the fucking DAT.
No, tell you what though. And after that, I don't want to give his game away number.
No, I know he cold as fuck.
Yeah, man, but look, after that, we decided, what we're gonna go with. And we did the song. I'll come back to the actual song, but he started having like a studio session where he just had, Mailman was on there on the beat. The tempo was maybe 85 tempo. Have that going, boom. He'll just get the tempo together, boom. Mailman coming with a beat. Boom. He'll wait.
You know what I mean?
No, he'll just wait. And if it ain't right, it's a look. It's like a feeling. And he'll know when it's right because he'll point. Bass player. Boom, 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 boom. Then he'll point at the other motherfucker, the keyboard. Boom, jam. And then the guitar, they'll start doing this. And then by the time it's like 6-7 people in there jamming. And they went for like 3 minutes and they'll stop that whole shit. Boom, he'll start back over again with another tempo, 88 this time. It's 80, whatever. And then, point over here, he did like 7 fucking songs in 10 minutes. 6 songs in 10 minutes. Skeletons. And I was like, oh, that's how we got all the, but it was so fucking cold. And he choreographed that shit to the T. And he was like, he's a, man, I never seen Quincy Jones work, man.
You gotta be fucking close.
This is why I took offense to this video that I watched yesterday. I don't know the guy's name, but he said that R&B artists were talented and hip-hop artists was cool. It's like he was talking about the difference between the two genres. And it was almost like, he was implying that hip-hop artists didn't really have talent. It's just that we made it something cool. We made music cool. We did something cool. Not necessarily that hip hop artists were talented. And that, what he just said, totally destroys that philosophy, that theory that he has, right? Like saying that it's just cool. Like, yeah, there's some cats out there that bank on just trying to be cool, that personality or whatever. But I know some artists. I bet your ass can't write that shit to the world. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I bet you can't produce the shit that they produced. Mm-hmm. Talking about just making it cool or whatever. I mean, he said some other things I can't really remember, but I just remember that overall he had a good angle on it. But when he said that piece about hip hop, artists just being cool, it's like, yeah, he lost me with that.
Yeah.
That, you know, it takes to do it right, and especially to do it a long time. It takes hella talent.
Mm-hmm. Not that, Devin, you are very fucking anal with your shit, you know, with your music, bro. Cause I have seen you sit at the board and mix vocals, and I'm sitting there like, come on, bro. Dev, this shit is right.
No, you got to.
And
put
that says right a lot. Put this cat right here.
I gotta get this up there.
Like, Dev. It's a song called Sticky Green on Dale's first album that we did together. And I actually mixed that motherfucker by myself. Were you in the room?
Part-time, I believe. Not for the whole mix, but in and out.
Yeah, but I got one off, man, without Devin coming in and adjusting his fucking vocals. I was like, God damn.
Oh, I used to give Mike Dean hair.
I know you did. Shit, I used to give Mike Dean hell, man. Yeah. Shout out to Mike Dean.
Much love, Mike Dean, man.
Mike Dean was a bad motherfucker. He is a bad motherfucker.
Call him the Rick Rubin of Rap-A-Lot.
The Rick
Rubin. Yeah, how do you feel about Brad stealing the name Face Mob? I mean, that was your group, right? Yeah, you was in a group called Face Mob, right?
No, that was...
This, what the fuck, Willie? What in the fuck?
That's Faces group. That's Faces Mob.
What in the fuck, Willie?
No.
Oh, goddamn.
Well, see, Face had a band. He was doing it big. He had a lot of artists about to get ready to come out with different solo acts. And he was telling me, man, you know, while everybody's chilling in solo mode, man, we got so much talent together, man. I want to put this group together until, you know, we start doing the solo projects. I want you to come help me out. You know, it's called the Face Mob. And if you just come do a few hooks, you mean to be cool. You
everybody
know
was so dope, man.
Man.
Everybody. I mean, that was not a weak link. Everybody was dope.
The other side of the law.
This is how we do it. On
Let's love
hey. Hey.
Yeah.
And anytime I away, we do it on the other side of the law.
On the hook.
That thing was called.
Yeah, he did the bass too.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
It was funky, man.
Man. Mm. And then.
Yeah, can you still break dance?
Yes. You know, I got one more windmill in me.
No shit.
I got one more.
So you say
your knees ain't cutting up on you yet?
You know what I'm saying? That's, you know. It's hard, you know, it's a little harder.
That's why you got one more.
That's why I only got one more.
You're gonna use that motherfucker wisely, huh, Johnny?
Wisely, it's gonna be on video. You know what I'm saying? But if the right song come on, there's one song, if you play it, I have to try to do something anyway, so I can't. I'm not gonna tell you the song.
I'm gonna find that motherfucker, yeah. Dave. You know, I'm
a...
Dave, you work with a lot of artists throughout the years. You know, you starting off with Brad. You know, you work with Slim, I'm drawing a blank.
Who's Snoop.
Snoop, Dre.
Didn't you do R. Kelly?
You work with Bun B.
Mm-hmm.
You work with R. Kelly.
E-40.
Work with,
right? Mm-hmm. You work with Earl, E-40, right?
Yeah. Work with Dre. Three Stacks.
Yeah. You did?
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who else?
Oh,
man.
Yeah, quite a few people. Man. It's been a blessing, man. Just for people to reach out, man. For real, it's just overwhelming just to be asked to be a part of somebody's project life. You know what I'm saying? Just to, you know, I love working with people who want me to be a part of what they're doing, you know what I'm saying? Locally, you know, from here to up there, you know, it's just a blessing to be reached out upon. You know, I never thought that I could make a living or, you know, provide for my family by doing this. Back in the day, I just thought it was just a hobby. I really like to do it. I just want to give me a record contract and a 79 Seville. That's all I want.
Oh, what a job this is.
Speaking of your family, man, how did your family take that once you, when they found out, man, Devin is doing his thing, like he's messing with this rap thing, he's on. Like, how did they respond to that?
Well, my mom, she was always, she didn't care what I do, as long as I stayed out of trouble. And I was able to provide. She. I told her I wanted to pursue a rap career once I got out of high school, and I wanted to go to the Art Institute of Houston. So she helped me to go to the Art Institute of Houston to try to pursue that.
How many years did you do that,
though? Actually, I did about a year or so, but I know I was 2 months from completing the whole assignment, and I was going to be able to get a degree. You can get a degree. The first year they was handing out degrees for that.
For
music business.
No shit.
Yeah. Broadcast music.
No shit.
Yeah, and video. Music, dope. Video business for broadcast. All that 2 months left, and we got a record deal. We rap a lot. And me and Jug was that Jug with Dexter, you know, one with Jug. So we was all like, man, we got the deal. That's what we came to school for, huh? Man, fuck the school. And you know what I'm saying? I regret, I still do.
I was about to say,
I still want to go get my 2 months so I can get my degree so I can at least teach or talk or go to some school or program.
That would be so dope.
And that's, you know.
Professor Devin. Professor Devin the dude.
The dude.
Oh, man.
Where your class be packed out.
Oh, yeah. They'll be high. They'll be coming.
That'd be dope.
They'll come to class high, too. You ain't going to say nothing
that
about us coming.
That ain't going to be a problem. That shouldn't be a problem.
Nah, that, not at all.
Yeah, especially as long as you can get the work done, man.
Man.
No, but I believe some of the students will come high. Like, you better
That's
not
what
say.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
The students would come out. I'm saying, hey, man. It's your body, man. Whatever you want to do to your body, it's your body. As long as you can get the work done,
there you have
it. Because you can't just be having everybody failing now.
Right. Oh, right? Yeah.
Then they'll start looking at you like, what kind of teacher?
Right.
Professor, are you?
And I never wanted weed to be the forefront of my career.
You made a movie about it.
No, I was asked to do a movie about it.
I never wanted weed to be the forefront of my career. So I'm going to make a movie about it.
No,
I was in a movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Yeah.
That was you and Lil Duval.
Lil Duval.
Right? Oh, Lil Duval. Man, yeah. Did y'all do a part two?
Nah.
I thought I saw a part two.
That would be nice. I would love to do it. But yeah, Coke Daniels directed and produced that. Eddie Griffin.
Yeah, executive
produced that too. Eddie Griffin.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was in the movie too. The white guy in the bar.
What?
Yeah. Eddie Griffin. Yeah, he was made up as the white guy. He was had makeup on and everything.
Yeah. Now, do you ever want to do any more acting?
I wouldn't mind. I would love to, actually, but, you know.
I mean, have you pursued it?
Actually, I wanted to do it in a different route. I wanted to do more writing. I wanted to test, you know.
Well, I bet you that shit would be funny. I wanted to write a motherfucker.
Yeah, and just write skits or whatever, you know. We have kind of crazy ideas and stuff, so.
Boy, I know you and Jug and Rob, boy, if y'all had GoPros in the studio. Boy, I know that shit is funny as fuck. Right. We couldn't get work done because we'd be laughing so motherfucking hard, man. Devin is funny as fuck, man. Can I smoke with y'all?
Hell no.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Mm-hmm. State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
First he changed music, then he changed the world. The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and legacy of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. In this powerful and uplifting film, discover Bob Marley's story of overcoming adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music that changed the world. If you missed it in theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Dad, the first time you went overseas, what country did you visit to play?
I went overseas with a... I might have to call up Matt Gonzalez, because Matt Gonzalez is my international manager. Yeah.
Was it Finland?
I believe so. Finland.
I played Finland and
it was
you
Finland.
Had just played maybe a month before that.
It was Finland. I remember doing a lot of, I did some recording and stuff over there, a studio record. Yeah, Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But since then, you know, it's been quite a few places I visited over there, man.
And I heard you packed it out. It was packed cool. out each time.
Man, it was a blessing, man. I did not realize that they listened to me or to hip hop in general that much. Mm-hmm. And they are really into it.
Yeah.
They are really into it. The history, the places where before all this social media and Wikipedia and all this right here, they would really know about hip hop, graffiti, DJing, the history of these people and where they came from and how they grew up and stuff. You know, like, how did you know all this? Man, they asked me about K Reno. Like, no, say, man,
they do. They know
man, they asked me about K Reno. Much love to K Reno, man. That's my godfather rap. Up to the yeah, man.
They know about Lil Kiki. They know.
Yes.
It tripped me out,
man,
bro.
Lil Kiki packed out a spot in Japan or some shit, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Man, that's my dude.
I fuck with Kiki. Man, me too, man.
I fuck with Kiki, man.
When I went out there, I spoke with the editor of the magazine. He was interviewing me. And he said, Willie D, you know you're in concert the same night as 50 Cent. And I said, yeah, I heard. He said, yeah, but you have nothing to worry about. They're coming to see 50 because he's hot. They're coming to see you because you are a legend. He told me that shit. And I thought he was just gassing me up. And I showed up in the airport. It was on some Michael Jackson shit. It was like 300 people in the airport with signs and shit. Welcome to Finland. And I saw the promoter, Yarrow,
yeah.
And I said, man, you didn't have to do all this. He said, the motherfuckers did it on, I don't know the motherfuckers. That's what he said. I don't know the motherfuckers. They heard you were coming, I guess. Yeah.
They love
And they were out. Outside, like, in the snow. It was 15 below. They were in the snow. I didn't go home until 4 a.m., but they were in the snow at noon. They were in the snow at noon, standing in line. I didn't know what the hell, because we went to a subway, and the subway was like a block away from the hotel. And the venue, the Virgin Company, was right in the middle. And so we walked back. We got dropped off, and we walked back. And as we're walking back, I look over to my left, and I see all of these people standing in line. You know, a few hundred people standing in line. And I say, what's going on over there? I mean, I'm totally just oblivious, was, you know, to my juice in Finland. So I'm like, what's going on over there? He said, the motherfuckers are there for you. They think they're going to miss something. And when I showed up, dude, the Virgin Company, I don't know if it's still there, that building, but it reminds you of like the House of Blues, two stories. Whole 2,000 people, balcony, and all this type of stuff. And I show up, bro, and they're rumbling. I come out. You know, typically when I do my show, I'll come out and maybe for like a minute, I have a 1 minute intro. Then I go out there. Man, and them people start tripping so hard. I circled around back by the DJ. I said, keep that shit going. And I came back, and I was like, and everybody,
oh, that's Willie. Man, Willie.
Oh, really? I touch one chick. And then I come back. I say, watch this. I go to my boy. I say,
really?
I say, watch this. Go back to the front and touch another chick. And she just, it was something to see, man. But the point is that they really do appreciate real hip hop.
They really
do appreciate
it,
man.
Yes.
They show a lot of love. And you don't have to have a hot album out today. If you give them a hot album from back in the day.
Yeah. You're in there.
You good.
Yeah.
It's the part about you going,
yeah, I just, you know, remember we used to do that shit. We used to be on stage.
That's not true, really.
We used to be on stage.
It's not
and,
fucking huh? true. That's not
we
true.
We used to be on stage, and you know, when you go up to the front, you know, and you know, they do a little Michael Jackson thing. You touch one of them chicks, and they start fainting and shit or falling out. We used to do that. Like, right. Watch this.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad didn't do it. He couldn't.
Really?
He couldn't get the women to do that type of shit, but you know.
But Bill could, huh?
But I'm the gangster love, so you know how that goes. Yeah. Shit.
That was Bill that was touching all the women, making them pass out. Willie was back there looking at me like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Man, this
Okay. Man, this is wonderful right here. Glad to see y'all doing this, man, for real.
Yeah, this is what we do,
man. Y'all
man.
Making major moves, man, and y'all looking good on TV, man.
On TV.
I like that. The intro from the intro on, man. It's just,
Devin, your career, man, I have followed it. I have watched you grow, and I can honestly say, man, I am very, very proud of what you do and what you've done and your accomplishments to date, you know, and I look forward to watching you grow even more, bro.
Oh, man. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man. You fucking did that, bro.
I appreciate you, man. You're the one who kind of gave me, you know, catapulted me, man. Gave me the start. You're the one who gave me my name. My name was just Devin.
He put the dude on it?
I mean, okay, it was just Devin. And we was working on the album. I needed 2 or 3 songs left. He said, man, what do you used to listen to when you was little? I was like, man, Quincy Jones, the dude, that's my favorite album. You got it? We got it, which? I was like, yeah, it's in the B room. We went to the B room to get the vinyl from Damo, came back, and he played it. He just started breaking everything. He wanted to start producing it, getting it all together. And boom, I came back in like 30 minutes. The beat was already there. I was like, oh.
Who is it?
A rendition of the dude, you know.
Smoking on a sweet while he getting his nuts lit.
And we had so much fun working on that record. Man, as soon as I finished the record, he was like, he said, that's it. That's your name. That's the name of the album. I say, no, that's Quincy Jones. No, you the dude, dude. He kept telling me, man, you the dude. You the dude, man.
But we shot a commercial, dog. Okay. We shot a fucking commercial, bro. Do you have that commercial, Devin?
For that album?
The commercial we shot, man, where I pulled up in the van to pick you up for the show, and we did that Doves out.
Yeah, right. Damn, no, I don't know who got that.
That motherfucking commercial is the shit.
That'll be something good to see, man. I would trip the fuck
out. So I directed Devin's, you know how they used to shoot commercials for people, albums and shit? So I directed one of Devin's commercials, man. It's where I pull up in a big-ass white 15-passenger van to pick him up for the concert, man. You see, I'm knocking on the bathroom door. Get the can.
Hold on. Damn, I wonder who got that.
I don't know.
If that's still around, that would be some archives.
That shit is great.
That'd be some archives, man. Damn.
And then him walking out of the bathroom, walking out of the house with the toilet paper on his shoe.
Big Chief ought to know where all this stuff is.
He got to know.
What are you into other than music, you know, and obviously your favorite pastime? But what are you into besides that, man, you know, on a personal level?
Like on the hobby type thing, as far as hobbies, I love remote control stuff. I love RC cars, drones. I started off with just flying helicopters. You know, a helicopter is way, way harder than a drone to fly. Mm-hmm. And then a drone is a lot easier to fly than a quadcopter.
What the fuck is a quadcopter?
Is what it was in the beginning before they started coming out with the word drone. It was just a quadcopter. We had a helicopter to fly, you know, with just one propeller. Then you had a quadcopter with 4 propellers. That was it. But every movement of your fingertips, whatever, it does something, and you cannot let it go, or that will just it'll just crash into something. So it was just you're in total control of it. Now it's obstacle avoidance and all kind of stuff. You can put the remote down and talk, and it'll still be flying. All it's just so easy now.
I remember one time I was fucking with I had a drone, bro, and I put that motherfucker way up there, and then that bitch cut off.
For sound like a battery issue with the remote.
I don't know what it was, but that motherfucker cut off, man.
And how much you spent on it?
Shit, at least, how much with them drones? Like $1,200?
About $1,300?
Boy, I watched that $1,300 hit the ground and shatter like glass.
It's devastating.
That shit was all in somebody.
Do they make them better today?
Yes.
I don't know.
A lot better now.
I haven't bought one
since. And a lot cheaper.
Are they really?
Less expensive.
The Phantom 4s and shit?
Yeah. Oh, you can get a Phantom 4s for
What they have they moved up to, like, what are they, Phantom 10 now or some shit?
I don't know. I mean, DJI Mavic.
Mavic.
The Mavics are, you know, that's some of the top dogs now. You know, they got the minis and they got some smaller versions, all kind of different models now. But, you know, I like the Mavic 3.
Speaking of smaller versions, you got kids?
I got 7 kids.
You got 7 kids, bro?
Yes, sir.
Damn. That's a lot of kids, man.
A lot of kids, man.
In the 2000s.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How old is the youngest? And how old is the oldest?
The youngest is 5 and the oldest is like 30, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I got two waves of kids, you know, but 4 of the 7 are pretty much grown and out doing their own thing right now.
Do you plan on having more?
No. Well, and God say the same, you know, that's it, man. But no, I got a nice little shut off valve that I got a shut off valve that I'm,
you know,
I
can, in the bud?
No. I got a personal one. My brother did, Brother Donnie, he got, you know, he nipped, told me, man, he got like 9, 10, so it was time for him too, yeah. Yeah, we do a lot of fucking. God. We do a lot of fucking, man.
We do a lot of fucking.
Yeah. I love each and every one of them. I love kids, period, man. And I just.
I remember one time I walked in Devin's house, right? I'm walking in Devin's house, man. I see this cute little girl, man. I look down and I say, you're here? And he said, yes, I'm here.
That was Dawn. That was my daughter, Dawn. She was like,
Dawn, I don't even know where you came from.
Yeah, because it was just, I was having kids at the time, and she just popped up. She's like, when did she get here?
What the hell?
He was like, you're here.
You're here?
Yeah, are any of the kids in the entertainment industry?
My son, I got a son named Dante. He started producing at 8 years old.
Dante is dope, man. Yeah, he's funny as fuck too. He's hilarious.
He rap hip hop, but he was trying to, at this day and age and that type of rap, you know, it was kind of that type of rap. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of like, man, you might just, you know, he's real talented too, man. He surprised me, but you know, my nephews in East Texas too, man, they're all kind of talented. They've got made me like, well, maybe I should try to do something and do something really extra for them, because I got 3 nephews and my son, they're like really, really cool. I was like, damn, they're gonna force me to do something for them, because they got it.
It's a good project.
Deb, when it's time for you to go and you ain't got no more, how you want to be remembered?
You know what, Will? If I could just be remembered, I'd be cool. Just remembered. Yeah. And then let them take it from there and just do some history, you know, because you forget about a lot of rappers and stuff and a lot of greats that's been here. And you don't really go down the rabbit hole of the contributions of what they did until they die or whatever, and then some of them are not even remembered.
Oh.
And you got to, if you bring the name up, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember. So just to be remembered in a conversation, man, and just, it's fine with me.
This is the last questions I'm going to ask, man.
You promise?
Yeah. And then we can leave.
All right.
What you gonna do when the people go home and you wanna smoke weed and the reaper's all gone? Somebody had the nerve to take the bout out of doobie ashtray. Why they do me that way? Man.
Damn, always a pleasure to see you, man.
Man, the pleasure's always mine.
Can I get
man.
That last?
Oh! Man, I stopped hitting that note like 3 packs of black and mild ago. Oh yeah. Looking ahead.
Dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, Devin.
Man, I appreciate the love, bro, man.
So dope, man. And stay high.
Oh, will do. And that's just high in spirit, man. You know what I'm saying? Just high, you know, and just living life and to the best of your ability. Just stay high, man. Stay above water. That's what that means. I always
talk about how important the cum line is when you're rapping. And Devin has some of the most amazing cum lines in the history of the art.
I smoke weed. I drink brew. That's all the rapper bike and shit. That's all I do.
Devin the dude.
I love it, Devin.
Oh, man. I remember that so line you used to tell me. You used to pull me to the side all the time. You even told me, Jay, check this out. Devin, say it, Devin. I'm like, oh, barbecue. If I'm high, then the motherfucker, how about you? You know that? I don't just want, I like, why he's like that line all the time? There's more to it, but he was like, oh man.
Say Mario.
Hey, what is that motherfucking song, David? I want to hear it. Barbecue. Dude.
Take Brad's voice.
Man, what's the song, Dim?
Warren Lee on that song, too.
What is the name of that song?
Barbecue. It's on the Coffee Brother album. Oh, man.
Okay, good. Don't take my shit out.
Yeehaw. It's called Yeehaw.
Man, that song. There you go.
This episode was produced by A-King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.